Today we're talking about homelessness in Rochester. We all know it's out there, but a lot of times we don't know what to do about it. We know of different organizations, and this is an organization I was just turned on to by Michael Gill. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Nick Coulter from Person-Centered Housing Options, PCHO.
Yes.
.org.
Thank you. Yes.
And I've been looking at your website and stuff like that, and some of your YouTube videos are very good, tell the story very well. Why haven't I never heard of you guys? You've been around since 2015, is that right?
Yes, we've been around since 2015. We're a small organization. When we founded it, we had a major crisis on our hands, and we still do.
Right.
The reason you haven't heard about us is we're on the ground. We're working. We're not trying to make a big name for ourselves. What we're here to do is to serve the people, get them off the streets and into housing, and provide them the best care that we can.
Now, we see the actual people on the streets. Where do they go to? Is this somebody that you help every night?
Every day. Yeah. So we have an outreach team that consists of about 9 or 10 folks. We're looking to enhance that outreach team. We're doing an annual appeal right now, and we're developing some new programs. But we have an outreach team that goes out and finds people every day under the bridges, in abandoned buildings, sleeping in their cars throughout Monroe County. And the idea is that we engage people in a way that supports their needs, provides them with the necessities to live on the street sometimes, mm-hmm. and then gets them into permanent housing.
Well, that's the difference. Now, we've all heard of like Open Door Mission,
right.
and St. Joseph's in House of Mercy and stuff like that. But you guys take it to the next step. Is that correct? That's what I gathered by looking at your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, shelter is one of those steps. Sometimes folks don't want shelter. So when we find folks out on the streets or in their cars, we're looking to see what's your next step. Once we figure out what they need and what they want to do, we might bring them into shelter, but we don't leave them there.
Right.
We go on to the next step, and that might be treatment, or it might be education, or it might be even a job. It also might be housing. So we follow that person from point A to point Z and walk them through the whole process.
Now, how did you get into this? How did you start this? You have a partner, right, Chuck?
Yeah, Chuck. Chuck's great. Chuck and I really saw that the system had really failed this population that was cycling through these systems. They were going in emergency rooms. They were going into shelters. They were going into housing, and they would just be back out on the street within, you know, 3 to 6
right.
months, sometimes
right.
even shorter periods of
right.
time. And so we left our jobs. Chuck worked at a local hospital. I worked at the county. We left our jobs, and we said, we're not going to see this anymore. So we started PCHO with maybe a couple nickels to rub together, and
yeah, I guess so.
And we started writing grants, and we started proving ourselves, and we started saying, if we're out there every day, if the people are out there every day, we're not going to let them, you know, go to waste. And so we found great people out there to help us along the way, volunteers and outreach workers and social workers, et cetera, and we built PCHO from nothing.
So I met Michael the other night, and he was the one who was telling me about you, and I'm like, I've never heard of this. So, Michael, what's your background, and how did you come to help out with PCHO?
Well, I'm a retired civil servant, and when I saw the destruction of the homeless encampment 7.5 years ago, it tweaked my curiosity. I went over. I ran into Nick at one of the first visits to the encampment. He started explaining everything that you just heard mm-hmm. to me, and I just I had nothing better to do than to keep trying to help where I could. And because of some of my other background in security and other fields, I was able to come and go at the encampment and make friends with the people over there and hear their side of the stories
right.
and start looking for ways to fill the gaps in services. And the lead person for that here is Nick. They ended up asking me to help them establish the new encampment called Peace Village as their designee, because they were sick of going to meetings with the city to negotiate this transition from trespassing on what originally was Time Warner's, then became Spectrum's property, to what is a very unique situation in the world, as far as I know, of an approved encampment for the homeless in by the municipality that allowed them to be within walking distance of the service center of the city, or as we call it, Center City. But
right.
The services they need at DSS or the House of Mercy or the Open Door Mission or the bus stops is critical to providing a service for people in Peace Village. If I can delineate real quick, is for the people who can't use the shelters.
Okay.
It's not an alternative to an emergency shelter system that provides care and feeding, to the multitude of homeless people. It's for the people who get kicked out.
Oh, right.
Or for the people who can't go in because there's someone in there that they don't get along with, or because their social anxiety, simply stated,
sure,
other mental illnesses and things cause them to not advance it from a state of homelessness in a congregate, crowded shelter, especially when it's over crowded.
Right.
Which
so that's
they
what,
all are at all times. Almost.
So this Peace Village, is that's what happened to everybody we used to see if we're on entering 490 over here under the bridge and everything like that?
Yeah.
They've relocated everybody? Was that what happened?
We relocated everybody. That was quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Now Peace Village has new folks. We've gotten a lot of those folks into housing that were out there. And what we do is we provide services right on site. We have staff that are there every day. We provide meals through Asbury Church. We provide volunteerism. We have Nazareth College comes down and helps us clean up the space along with the clients that are there.
Okay.
We work to keep that space nice for folks, and we're enhancing it. So our goal right now is to add more staff to that, provide more services on site, work with the Rotary Clubs to provide housing there. So we're not permanent housing, but shelter, and work on a continuum where we can get people right into permanent housing or their own apartments after they're ready.
Yeah, that one YouTube video I watch of yours, you're putting people into homes, houses.
Right.
And I mean, what do they have to go through? I mean, a lot of times, like I said, with mental health, addiction, stuff like that, do they have to prove themselves to get to that level?
No. Everybody has the right to housing. It's our human right by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we have the right to housing. We give everybody their first chance at getting into an apartment. From there, we build supports around them. We provide them with furniture, services. We provide them with household supplies, everything you need to start your own apartment. And that's why it's so important that we fundraise. Not a lot of these things are always paid for by the government or by our programs. So it's really important that we build those things around their needs. And as we see that there's a drug addiction or there's a mental health need, we'll walk them into those places. We'll bring them into treatment. Meanwhile, they still have their own apartment. So they have that home base. And when we have that home base, when we have a place where we can put our head down or set an alarm clock, we can make appointments. We can take care of ourselves. We can start to build a home for ourselves. And it's really important that we provide people that opportunity, regardless of those problems, because it is their human right.
Right. Now, I was talking to Michael again about... And we see it downtown Rochester all the time.
Yeah.
I've heard things about the people that stand at all the exits holding the signs.
Yeah.
They're not always homeless people, are they?
No, they're not. And to be honest with you, we've done...
Because I just want people to...
Yeah, let's be real.
Dispel this.
Yes,
you know, so some people think what they think and what they know.
Yeah, so our team does surveys and we do research as well. So part of knowing what we're dealing with and part of working with the people is that we know the population well. So we have staff and we have interns from local colleges that'll go out and research this. We've found that about 60 to 70% of the population that's out there panhandling are truly homeless. homeless. The other 30% may go there once in a while if they need some extra income, or you know, there might be a problem they're dealing with. But most of the people you're going to find at 104 or Carter, most of the people that you find on Goodman and 490 or Monroe and 490, those folks are truly homeless. We work with them in the encampments that they might be staying in close by, or some of the buildings that they're close by, and they are truly homeless. I'm not saying that we should be giving them money. We have hygiene kits that we give them. We have cards, business cards that we give them, toiletry products, first aid kits, sunscreen, sunglasses, all different kinds of things that we give them to manage the summer, and then all sorts of goodies and things like that that we give them in the winter. And these are engagement tactics. And so if people are interested in giving people things that are at those stops, I suggest, you know, taking socks and putting our business card or putting some information in there and giving them socks instead of giving them
money. That's a
great
idea.
Yeah.
Because you always hear that. That's one of the biggest needs on the streets.
Yeah. We had one of our staff members' dads would keep Bomba socks in the back seat of his car with our business cards. And when he would pull up, he would feel like, oh, man, I got to give them something. He'd give them a pair of socks and our card would be in there. And then an outreach worker would show up and say, hey, do you know about PCHO? And they'd be like, yeah, I got your card the other day.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's different tactics you can take to providing people with what they need without being rude.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, we're still, you know, in warm weather right now, but these encampments, I can't imagine they're very warm when it's getting into the minus zero wind chills and stuff like that. What do you do then? I mean, so what is it, a blue alert or something like that?
Yeah, it's a code blue.
Code blue,
so
right.
So when code blue hits, it's usually a certain degree. You'll hear about it on the news. Open Door Mission will issue a report. So usually what we do with folks that are outside that won't go inside is provide them.
There are people that just won't, right?
Yeah, there are people that won't go inside, and we keep an eye on them. We provide them with supplies so that they stay warm and so that they don't get frostbitten. If they do come across any medical issues, we'll immediately have a UR street outreach folk go out there, and they do UR medicine.
Okay.
We also have other doctors or other folks from Rochester Regional Health through Healthcare for the Homeless that'll go out and check on them. So we do have a network of people that will keep an eye on those folks. There are few of them. They'll end up usually going to stay with a friend, or they'll end up going into shelter and waiting it out. Sometimes they'll go in a heated garage. It really depends on how resourceful these folks are and, you know, how well they can maintain in those kinds of elements. But it's really sad.
Well, that was one of the big issues recently here, right, with the civil garage.
The Civic Center.
Civic Center. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we work really closely with the county and the sheriff's department and the city police departments to find these folks and provide them with services. When they're in those kinds of locations like the Civic Center, it's really important that we have a plan to work with them to get into housing. We recently got one of our very good friends on the streets, Carl, into housing through the VOA. He had been in the garage for decades. And
really?
I'm not joking when I say decades. Carl is no longer with us. He passed away. But Carl was able to be in his own apartment before that happened. And it was a blessing to be part of his life. So we do have great stories of people that have had that kind of success. But when we have a place like that, we have to work to provide them with better housing than a garage.
Now, you mentioned funding.
Yeah.
What do you do? Where do you get? Where's the money come from? Michael? Is Michael giving you all the money?
Yeah, Mike's got a lot of money. He just shells out. No, I think it's...
I don't. I got panhandled twice on the way from the Liberty Bowl, and after that, I stopped counting.
So. So, I mean, it's a combination. We work really closely with local businesses. We have a lot of sponsors that are in our newsletter and on our Facebook page. Those sponsors have been instrumental in providing us with funds that are non-discretionary or discretionary funds. So we also have several grants that we work with the county, the city, the state, the federal government to provide both housing, outreach, and case management services. So all of that sort of gets cobbled together. What we are working now and creating a plan for is our annual appeal. It's our first annual appeal this year. We're doing it from September to December. And so you can go right on our website and donate through our annual appeal. We also are working really, really hard to create a marketing plan where we can let the community know we exist.
Like open door mission. Like today.
Yes. So yeah. Other organizations have put a lot of money into those kinds of things. We have been putting a lot of money into our programs.
Gotcha.
And so what we're doing now is kind of trying to go into a direction where people know we're developing housing. We have a building at 216 Central Park that we recently bought and are renovating for permanent housing units. We work with home leasing on developing some housing units. We're working with DePaul. We are really maximizing our relationships, spreading ourselves into different directions, and creating housing that's using the housing first model for folks to really get off the street and stay off the street.
So we're technically out of time here, but I knew this was going to go long. Yes, I knew it would be, just because it's so interesting to me, and I just know the need is there. I mean, working downtown Rochester, you see it every day.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank Michael for introducing me to you.
Yeah.
And I happened to run into him after Party in the Park last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. It's a great place to meet.
Yeah. And if people want to help.
Yes.
Other than money, what else can they do?
Yeah, they can contact us. Go to our website, pcho.org. If you reach out through our email, which is at the bottom, if you don't want to donate, reach out. Let us know what you're interested in. Like I said, we have cleanups. We have volunteer activities. We can teach you how to put together a hygiene kit with our cards and our information. There's all sorts of things you can do. We've had schools do little activities where they put together cookie trays for our clients out there on the streets.
Right.
Anything that makes people feel like they're a human being is part of what we do.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. PCHO.org. And Nick Coulter, Michael Gill, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
The next time you've got something to, if you've got an event or something like that, just let me know so we can talk about it again.
Thank you.